ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಾಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಭಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ
ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಗೌರಂಗ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ Canto 5, Chapter 4, Text 7. We have been so used to not writing the verse on the board that this is a regular verse and we haven't written it. So those of you who have the verse in front of you.
Brahmanyonya kuto nabher Vipra mangala pujita Yasya barhishi yagnesham ದರ್ಶಯಾಮಾಸುರೋಜಸ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣ್ಯೋನ್ಯಕುತೋ ನಾಭೇರ್ ವಿಪ್ರಾ ಮಂಗಲ ಪೂಜಿತ ಯಸ್ಯ ಬರ್ಹಿಷಿ ಯಜ್ಞೇಶಾಂ ದರ್ಶಯಾಮಾಸುರೋಜಸ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣ್ಯೋನ್ಯಕುತೋ ನಾಭೇರ್ ವಿಪ್ರಾ ಮಂಗಲ ಪೂಜಿತ ಯಸ್ಯ ಬರ್ಹಿಷಿ ಯಜ್ಞೇಶಂ ದರ್ಶಯಾಮಾಸುರೋಜಸ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣ್ಯೋಕುತೋ ನಾಭೇರ್
display. Ladies, please. Brahmanya, a devotee of the Brahmanas. Anyaha, any other. Kutaha, where is. Nabhe, besides Maharaj Nabhi. Vipraha, the Brahmanas. Mangalapujitaha, well worshipped and satisfied. Yasya, of whom, Barhishi, in the sacrificial arena, Yajna Isham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies, Darshayam Asuhu, showed Ojasa by their Brahminical prowess. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The second prayer is this. Who is a better worshipper of the Brahmanas than Maharaj Nabhi? Because he worshipped the qualified Brahmanas to their full satisfaction, the Brahmanas, by their Brahminical prowess, showed Maharaj Nabhi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, in person. So just for context, it's described that the greatness of Maharaj Nabhi is such that there were two verses composed about him. One was yesterday's verse. Who can attain the perfection of Maharaj Nabhi? Who can attain his activities? Because of his devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead agreed to become his son. And today, who is a better worshipper of the Brahmanas than Maharaj Nabhi? Because he is worshipped by the qualified Brahmanas to their full satisfaction, the Brahmanas, by their Brahminical prowess, showed Maharaj Nabhi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, in person. Purport. The Brahmanas engaged as priests in the sacrificial ceremony were not ordinary Brahmanas. They were so powerful that they could bring forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their prayers. Thus, Maharaj Nabhi was able to see the Lord face to face. Unless one is a Vaishnava, he cannot call forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord does not accept an invitation unless one is a Vaishnava. Therefore, it is said in Padma Purana, Shat karmani puno vipro mantra tantra visharada Avaishnava Guru Nasyad Vaishnava Swapacho Guru. A scholarly Brahmana, expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava. But a person born in a family of a lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava. These Brahmanas were certainly very expert in chanting the Vedic mantras. They were competent in the performance of the Vedic rituals, and over and above this, they were Vaishnavas. Therefore, by their spiritual powers, they could call on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and enable their disciple, Maharaj Nabhi, to see the Lord face to face. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the word Ojasa means by dint of devotional service. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ದಿ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ನೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್, ಹಿಯರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕೇಸ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ನಾಬಿ ಈಸ್ ಬೀಂಗ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಫೈಡ್ ಇಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಟೂ ರೀಸನ್ಸ್. ಒನ್, ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಮ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಅಗ್ರೀಡ್ ಟು ಬಿಕಮ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಸನ್. ಸೊ ದಟ್ಸ್ ವೆರಿ ವೆರಿ ಎಕ್ಸಾಲ್ಟೆಡ್ ಪೊಸಿಷನ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್, ದಟ್ ಹೀ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ಡ್ ದ ವೈಷ್ಣವಸ್ ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್, ಸಚ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ದೇ ಗೇವ್ ಹಿಮ್ ದ ವಿಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಫೇಸ್ ಟು ಫೇಸ್. Each person is known by his or her activities. And our activities are indicative of our personality. Now sometimes when we say personality, we often think about the psychophysical personality. But as devotees, more than the psychophysical personality, our personality is determined by the readiness or the chastity we have towards the instructions of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Our psychophysical personalities can be anything. And psychophysical personalities may make us suitable for one type of service and not suitable for another type of occupation, more than service, occupation. Yet, the personality of a Vaishnava is such that regardless of one's psychophysical nature or worldly qualification or disqualification, when called upon to perform a service, one is ready. One is ready in the sense, not in a foolhardy, blinded, stupid, immature way, but one accepts service. And there are examples, we'll talk about it. Even in great personalities, there is hesitation in the beginning. When Srila Narottam Das Thakur approached Srila Lokanath Goswami and asked him for initiation, Lokanath Goswami said, No, I cannot initiate you. First of all, you're not an ordinary person, you're a prince. And second, or probably more importantly, I'm not fit for accepting disciples. I don't want to take this responsibility. But Narottam Das Thakur kept pleading, please, without you being my spiritual master, I cannot see any other way out. And he kept saying no. Finally, Lord Gaurasundar appeared in the dream of Lokanath Goswami and said, you must accept him. This is my order. Yes, if you say so, my Lord, I will do so. And he accepted Narottam Das Thakur as his disciple. Similarly, in the life of Saranga Thakur, who was a fantastic Vaishnava, he didn't want to accept any disciples. So in his life also, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in his dream and told him, you must accept disciples and propagate the Sankirtan movement. So he took a vow. All right, tomorrow morning, the first person I see, I will initiate. And he woke up early in the morning. There was no light switch to turn the lights on. So in the darkness, he walked towards the Jalangi River, stepped into the river, took a dip, and when he came out of the water, came out of the dip, a dead body was floating by. And he touched there and said, oh, this is the first person. I promise that this is the first person that I will see, I will initiate. So I will initiate this floating dead body. And he chanted the Mahamantra into the ear of the dead body. And a person came back to life and became Saranga Thakur's disciple and went on to becoming a fantastic preacher in Gaudiya, Gauradesha. So there is hesitation, but yet with the hesitation, one's nature, personality is such that one carries that order on their head. So if for a Vaishnava, the greatest achievement is that they are known, to be a servant of the Vaishnavas. And Maharaj Nabi is being glorified for that quality, that how much he must have pleased the Brahmanas, who were Vaishnavas. And they gifted him something in return because they were very pleased. They gifted him the vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada says that these Brahmanas were not ordinary Brahmanas. So who is an ordinary Brahmana? An ordinary Brahmana is considered to be like a caste Brahmana. A caste Brahmana is one who is carrying the thread on their shoulder, but doesn't have Brahmanical qualities necessarily. Sometimes they are called Brahmabandhus. And even if they are not Brahmabandhus, they are genuinely Brahmanical in nature. They're ordinary in the case that they're not exceptional. These personalities who were the Brahmanas for Maharaj Nabi were exceptional. In one sense, we can say that they were Uttama category of devotees. And so Prabhupada says that unless one is a Vaishnava, one cannot call forth the personality of Godhead. So it's not like, Krishna, please come here. Although in some cases, Krishna has such relationships that he takes orders. Senayor ubhayor madhye ratham sthapayame achyuta. That sthapayame in Sanskrit is an order. Let it happen that way. And Krishna follows. Lovingly he follows. But calling forth, in this case, because Brahmanas, they have very high reverential attitude towards the Lord. Calling forth means they were so genuine in their prayers that the Lord felt very happy and pleased to appear before them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Swarata. Swarat means completely independent. There is absolutely nothing that can make or force Krishna to do something that he may not want to do, or not do something that he would want to do. And there is no circumstance that he is dependent upon. No, none of us as jivas can express that we have that kind of independence. Our independence is dependent on some other circumstance or situation to be true before I can express my full independence. And for me to think that I am fully independent is illusion. But Krishna is like that, Swarat. Yet, because the Brahmana's prayers were so pleasing that he came, he appeared. So Brahmana, a true Brahmana, is his activities are of six types, or three pairs of activities, Shat Karma. First is Patan Patham, to study Vedic literature and to teach Vedic literature. A Brahmana who doesn't study Vedic literature cannot be necessarily called a Brahmana, because the necessity to study Vedic literature is to know truth in its real sense. Because any other literature cannot approach truth. Any other literature would be a figment of the writer's imagination or creativity. It cannot be true, true with a capital T. Only Shastra is true. And those literatures in relation to Shastra, written by Vaishnavas or the sages, that are also in the same purpose of the Shastra, are considered Shastra. Vedic literature or literature following in the Vedic version. So the Brahmanas are to study them. And not only study them, but a Brahmana by nature will see in these three pairs of activities, a Brahmana is always giving. A Kripana is always taking. This is the difference. A miser is only interested in taking and not giving. And a Brahmana is always interested in giving. Even if he takes, he gives. So patan patan, to teach Vedic literature, to teach people how to live according to the principles of Shastra. If one doesn't live according to principles of Shastra, then one cannot be happy in life. One cannot be peaceful, and one cannot aspire to attain perfection or the highest abode in their lives. They will be cheated. It's only Vedic literature that will never cheat a person. Any other literature will cheat. Cheat, or if you want to use a softer word, misguide. Even that literature, this is Narada Muni's, I guess, chastisement, if you will. Even that literature that seems like Shastra but doesn't speak directly that this is the goal of life is not appreciated by the great souls. It says it's like a place of pilgrimage of the crows. Ushanti, Niramanti, Hamsa, Na Niramanti Hamsa. That the Hamsas, they don't take pleasure in such literature. And in that chapter, Narada Muni gives a principle. He says that jnana, even if one is very knowledgeable, but if it is achyuta bhava varjita, it is devoid of achyuta bhava, devoid of knowledge or connection with the Supreme, or that knowledge that is not filled with feelings for the Supreme, he says, no shobhate, jnanam alam niranjanam. One can be a fantastic scholar, but if that scholarship is not in relationship to Krishna, then he says, no shobhate, it's not decorative. Knowledge is supposed to be like a decoration of a person. Anyone who's decorated with knowledge is very attractive. But such knowledge doesn't look like decoration. Like if we walk around with a peacock feather on our head, I mean, we look really silly. Although it's the same decoration that the Supreme Personality of Godhead uses, if we walk around, na shobhate, it just doesn't cut it. No one will say, oh, kandarpa koti kamani vishesha shobham. It's not like that. It just doesn't match. Poundraka, yes. I was building it up for Poundraka. Because in this chapter also, false incarnations are spoken about. So there was one fellow, Mr. Poundraka. Mr. Poundraka wrote a letter to Krishna once, saying, don't claim yourself to be Vasudev. You're cheating Vasudev. You should immediately give up the throne and you should let me take that throne because I am the real Vasudeva. And apparently he had pasted two arms and he dressed himself just like Krishna with all the jewels and Vaijayanti mala, crown, and nice peacock feather. With two pasted arms, in two arms he carried shankha and chakra, and the two pasted arms he had gada and lotus flower, whatever. And he challenged Krishna. When Krishna got that letter, apparently it said that Krishna and Balram laughed hysterically. They were so amused. It's like, wow, this guy's really funny. I said, let's go see him. And they set out. And when they saw him standing in the chariot with his two cardboard arms, you know, as if he's one of the Sunday school drama persons, you know, cardboard arms or however you had fished those arms, another two standing like Vasudeva Krishna, and Krishna looked at like, wow. And the Sudarshan Chakra came, cut off two of his arms, and then separated his head from his body. And that was the end of Mr. Pandraka. So Nashobhate just doesn't decorate a person. And so knowledge, just for the sake of knowledge, is not something that one should aspire for. So teaching, patan, one should teach how, one should learn how to devotionally approach scripture and teach others how to devotionally study scripture. Generally, when people study scripture, the tendency is to have a very academic approach. One of the features of academic approach is to learn everything. And feel, I know. A devotional approach is to see it or learn it as glorification of Krishna, to glorify Krishna through study of scripture. In fact, for that matter, any subject matter, any branch of knowledge, when it is to be studied, it is to be studied as a glorification of Krishna. This is Narada Muni's instruction. Idam hi pumsa shrutas tapasyava. For what is the purpose? Yaduttama shloka gunanu varananam. And there also he says anuvarnana. Anuvarnana, yesterday we were hearing the meaning of anu. Anuvarnana means to glorify as the previous great personalities have done. So patan patan, then yajan yajan. Yajana is required as occupation. That is to perform Vedic sacrifices. A Brahmana does not take up any other occupation. A Brahmana who earns a salary is a Shudra in disguise. Because Brahmanas don't get compensated for their work. And the work also they take up is very specific, yajana, to perform Vedic sacrifices. If people don't perform Vedic sacrifice, first of all, knowledge cannot be put into practice. When Krishna says the whole idea of Vedic understanding is to perform sacrifice, the spirit of sacrifice, if it is not done by the Brahmanas, there's no example set for others to look at. And yajan yajana is to teach others how to do the same. Otherwise, people have a tendency to accumulate wealth more than necessary. And Narada Muni's instruction is that one who accumulates wealth more than necessary to maintain the body and soul together, becomes completely corrupt by that wealth. Yajan yajan. And occupation and money are always connected, right? Only in service to Krishna that everything is voluntary. So Brahmanas, they don't get compensated. Everything is voluntary service. Yajana, yajana is voluntary service. But they need to be maintained in the sense that the Brahmanas need to manage their households, need to manage and oversee projects, etc. So the Brahmanas accept charity. And it's also important for people to give in charity to Brahmanas. Persons who don't give in charity, their wealth remains impure. So to purify wealth, one must give in charity. So we need brahmanas to accept charity. Otherwise, who will we give it to? We will give it to some other impure cause. Impure cause means that cause that is influenced by modes of passion and ignorance. So charity must be given to pure persons, the brahmanas. When I'm saying brahmanas, it means Vaishnavas, of course. So along with yajan yajan comes dana pratigraha. Pratigraha means to accept charity. And dana, Vaishnavas must give in charity without hoarding that money. So Prabhupada gave a nice example. He asked the devotees, you must go to affluent, wealthy persons and ask for charitable contributions. And when they give charitable contribution, you should spend it in Krishna's service. And then you should go back to them and say, please give us more charity. And they will say, well, I just gave you. Yes, and we spend it for Krishna. Please give us more. This is the way of utilizing wealth. Otherwise, please give us charity. Krishna gets a little and the Brahmana keeps, so-called Brahmana keeps the money. This is not right. This is how the worldly charities work. So when we give money, we meaning general people, give money to, let's say, the American Red Cross or United Way. Because these companies are so huge and they're in the business of not-for-profit engagements, it is said that for every dollar that is donated towards a cause, they can only forward about 15 to 20 cents of that money. Close to 80 cents is used up in administrative costs to have buildings, have employees, to have marketing funds or whatever that's done. 80 cents of a dollar that is donated is used up in administrative costs. Versus when we offer to Krishna, even whatever goes or whatever is used, everything is for Krishna. So for that matter, not only if we give $1, it has value of $100 because it is being used in Krishna's service. This is the difference. So dana pratigraha, both must be done by a brahmana. Otherwise the brahmana becomes completely corrupt. He thinks, or he begins to think that, oh, this is very nice. I recite a few mantras. How many people understand what mantra the brahmanas are reciting? All through my childhood, these brahmanas used to come and they would go rat 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 rat, and most people would sit clueless. Except my grandmother would catch them. Hey, that's wrong. You went too fast in that mantra. You missed this whole section of this thing. Then they would say, today we don't have time. We are doing this right after this. We have to go do Shraddha for someone. Like that. But most people don't know what the brahmanas are reciting. They only certain things people understand. Oh, must be bona fide. When they hear swaha, swaha, oh, this must be okay. So they can say anything in between. And then they think, oh, I can just do this. And, whoa, kaching, kaching, Lakshmi Devi keeps coming. This is a nice occupation. Being recorded, so I won't say. Somewhere I saw, I was not a devotee at that time. I'm still not, but at least at that time I was not a devotee. But something stood out so starkly odd for me that somehow it didn't make sense. I went to some temples. They're not Hare Krishna temples, some temples. And I saw the pujaris. Because I used to go for a long time, I saw the transitions in their lives, if you will. When they had first come, the pujari was very meek, well-behaved, like that. Thin also. A few years later, body size grew, naturally. But they also started wearing gold chains. A few more years later, they had gold bracelet. And one more year later, they didn't care what mantra they were chanting. Their aarti was all, attention was all over the place. And they would very happily bring charanamrit with the full plate where you have to put some cash. They would say, And if you gave $5, they'd give you 2 almonds. If you gave $10, they'd give you 4 almonds. Everything became calculating. And I knew, okay, at least for me, it was like, well, I shouldn't be coming here. Or I shouldn't be, once I even had an argument with the person, that's a whole story, like some other day. But like that, dana pratigraha, this is very important. Otherwise, a brahmana becomes fully corrupt. Where only pratigraha and nothing going back. However, one may be expert at these things. Shat karma, nipuna. Nipuna means very expert. Yet, if he doesn't have bhakti in his heart, then Padma Purana says that such a person cannot be a guru. On the other hand, even a dog eater who has bhakti in his heart. Now, dog eaters don't have bhakti in their heart. What it means is that one may have come even from very degrading backgrounds. They come from a very degrading background, but if they become Vaishnavas, they should be accepted as guru. Even Prahlad Maharaj says this. I forget the first word of that verse. Vipra dvishat gunayutat aravinda nabha padaravinda vimukhat swapacham varishtam. Swapacham varishtam means the fellow who's a dog eater or came from a dog eater's family is better than vipra dvishat gunayutat. One of vipra who's decorated with 12 qualities. And those 12 qualities are described in a Sanat Samhita. Prabhupada gives the list. And he says, Manye, I according to me, Prahlad Maharaj says, according to me, Manye, because that person who came from Swapacha family, he has dedicated his body, mind, words, wealth, and life unto the personality of Godhead. Such a person can purify his entire dynasty. Not a fellow, not a brahmana, so-called brahmana, who thinks of himself very great, bhurimana. Manye tadarpita mano vachana ihitartha pranam punati sakulam. He can completely purify his entire dynasty. Natu bhurimana. But one who thinks I'm very great because I'm decorated with all these wonderful qualities and activities of a brahmana. And so this word ojasa, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that ojasa, literally ojasa means sensory prowess. It's not that the brahmana has sensory prowess, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that ojasa means his devotional power is very, very strong. And by that, Krishna is very attracted. Nothing can attract Krishna. Everything is attracted by Krishna. And Krishna is only attracted by Srimati Radharani, Madan Mohan Mohini. So everything that is devotional is very attractive to Krishna. And that's what these brahmanas have and have demonstrated for Maharaj Nabi. Because he has pleased them. So that's the verse. Any comments? Himanshu, Ed?
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about the importance of patience in regards to... So the idea being that someone may come to devotional service and he may not experience, although he's performing devotional service, the good qualities that come from it aren't manifesting like immediately or may take some time. But because he's living in a society, he sees other devotees and maybe because of their karma or their devotion, who knows what it is, they're manifesting some really wonderful qualities. And so how does the sadhaka remain patient that, okay, I don't have these qualities, others have them, but I have to maintain, you know, without trying to imitate, let me try and work on what I have to work on.
So didn't you just answer the question? Well, as long as for a person that conception doesn't become clear, that person will continue to struggle. So, generally, because we come from the fantastic world of competitive everything, competitive sports, competitive education, just everything, everything is competitive. The picture of devotional service is also like that. That somehow all the devotees that are my peers were running a marathon or a race and the guru said, go! And chuk, 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 chuk. I'm running. Oh, wow, I'm first initiated. I'm second initiated. Ah, I'm, the line's coming. There, I'm out. Oh, he fell down. He's grahastha. As if it's a race. It's a race against time, and somehow whoever gets to that end first has made it in bhakti. It's just a linear view. It's not a linear picture. It's a radial picture. Every living entity is, the center is Krishna. And it's not about speed. It's not about what pace, what intensity. It's not about that. It's about one's relationship with Krishna. So that's first. And second, Krishna is very, very independent, completely independent. In fact, two devotees, let's take devotee A, devotee B. Devotee A may be very genuinely, sincerely, you know, doing his devotional service. And devotee may be also sincere, but, you know, a little less sincere than, let's say, devotee A. Somehow devotee B could be doing very well. Because Krishna may interact with this person this way, that person this way, however he likes. Not because he's whimsical, but he knows how to attract each soul the best way. So trying to compare with someone else is such a painful experience in bhakti. To compare ourselves against someone. Because we don't know what kind of bhakti credit someone is coming with. We don't know that. And we don't even try to know that. So two people can start at the same time and zoom, zoom, zoom. One can go very fast ahead. That is not necessarily an indication that they are better devotees or that they are worse devotees. Anything can happen. Someone who's working slowly in the long run may do even better. Who knows? So it's not even worth speculating. It's about me and Krishna. If others are doing well, fantastic. I can learn something from everyone. I can learn something from everyone. There is nobody that I cannot learn from. But it's not a race. It's not a race. And it's not a race. Very sooner one gets to that conception, if that's clear and it is shining right in the forefront of our consciousness, happier they are. It's not a race. One should not become complacent because it's not a race. But it's not a race. You want to add to this? Okay. Same topic.
How does one keep Krishna then in the center, that the actual pursuit is Krishna? Because you were saying our radials were used?
Yeah, radial.
So, and we're all moving towards Krishna. It's a nice image. So then the question comes, but how do we keep Krishna in the center so that the tendency to compare doesn't happen?
Yeah, the tendency to compare is there because it's the, I guess, the disease we're coming with. And part of patience is to tolerate the disease, knowing that it's there. Sometimes we become uncomfortable. Oh, I shouldn't be envious. This is very difficult. I shouldn't be competitive. This is very difficult. Just accept, okay, that's there. How can I improve from there on? To think like that helps one move their vision from, that Prabhu, that Mataji is going fast, to what is it about my life that I need to work on? And we need correction because the tendency is to get distracted. We need correction. Thankfully, Guru and our senior devotees, whoever, will correct that for us. Because the tendency is there, like Jai Jagannath. Although it's radial, we're still, Edward had his hand first.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. A point of appreciation. I really liked how you shared the story about your grandmother catching the Brahmana in the act, because it reinforces that we have to cultivate knowledge in order to protect ourselves from being cheated and have those relationships of those who are knowledgeable. A question I had in an earlier point you made about thoughtfully accepting an instruction and carrying that as, you know, the instruction on our head. I've noticed, at least when I'm asked to perform a service or given an instruction, that my immediate reaction is, oh, yes, absolutely. So I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about how to thoughtfully approach an instruction and thoughtfully accepting an instruction, given that there's still such a large gap, at least for me, between what happens here versus what the reality of it turns out to be.
First of all, to say yes is a nice quality. You don't have to make it worse from there on. That's nice. And there are certain services, even if we very immaturely say yes, the person's giving us the service will say, well, think about it. They're not going to say, oh, someone's right here, just dump and let this fellow suffer. Edward Prabhu, can you please move this chair from here to there? Or before I say yes, let me carefully think, what are the qualities I should... Not necessary. There's yes. It is as simple as that. There may be something else that's a little bit more significant in that it might impact life. Then one can say, yes, I accept the instruction. I would like to know how to fulfill it. Acceptance is always there. So it's a nice quality, don't have to mess with it. Yet there are certain persons who immaturely say yes because something else is happening. I'll tell you like what else is happening. Sometimes, not only this, but for example, some people like to say yes to Guru Maharaj, whatever Guru Maharaj says yes, because that way I'll be a very nice disciple. I want to be known as a nice disciple. So it's less about the instruction, It's less about the less about the relationship. It's more about I want to be known as a nice disciple. I'm operating on a particular upadhi, nice disciple. So there are other subconscious things that might be operating. Even then it's okay because we're accepting an instruction, but better to accept with proper relationship based. Yes, this is my service, however. And how to know what's happening in the subconscious? It's not always easy. Mostly it is hindsight. But once it is hindsight, then it is awareness. Right? There are many things that we have done, and then we look back and say, oh, something else was happening for why I said yes or no to that. But now we are aware of it. So next time when something else comes that's very much similar, we know, oh, I have these tendencies or patterns. So rather than respond from those tendencies, let me respond from a devotional platform and say yes. Okay, Bhakti Richard.
Hare Krishna. My question is, I don't have a big like understanding of the scriptures or anything, but for the the little bit that I've read through my lens of perception, it seems that, like for instance, the Bhagavatam does make things seem like it's a race. I'll give you what I'm thinking is that anytime it seemed like someone was taking their time, they were criticized in the Bhagavatam. Like, I'm thinking of the third canto where, is it Devahuti and Kapila Dev? Well, they were down with Kardama Muni where they're together and so much time is elapsing. Yeah. I'm thinking of that, and I just, the Bhagavatam seems very specifically to criticize using even, I know what it is. This is why I'm asking. Specifically, the Bhagavatam does say that even a second of time is more valuable than anything else because you can't get back that time. So I'm wondering, my little mind, Maharaj says you can hold two things at the same time if you're intelligent. But, so help me to understand how it's not a race.
If that's what Maharaj says, then I'm lost here. Intensity is different from race. The Bhagavatam extols us to be intense in our devotional practice. It tells us not to space out. It tells us to take life seriously, take bhakti seriously, but it doesn't speak anything about race. It never says, Devahuti, have you seen Akuti, what she's doing? There's no reference like that. It's not about this and that. The Prahlad Maharaj had other brothers. There's no reference anywhere necessarily that said, you're better than your brothers. Yeah, but there's no... The only comparison made is to extol a person's stature. Like he's called Rishabha, better than or the best of. And Hiranyakashipu is called Asuravarya, the best of the demons. But it is not, the comparison is not that, oh, this, you're doing faster, better devotional service than that, or, oh, we're doing together, and there's not like that. It's not a race.
Yeah, you've perfectly clarified this, then, and I need to just position the question a little differently. So, not about versus how is my friend doing in comparison, or anyone else, but what about one's own journey being a race? That's what I'm thinking about.
Jai Jagannath Prabhu would like to answer.
No, a simple point is it's a question of how you utilize it.
Yeah.
Not a race, because the final accomplishment in Krishna consciousness is done by Krishna, and not by the living entity's endeavor. So it is not like if I move faster and faster and faster and work harder and harder and harder, I'm going to get prema any quicker than when Krishna decides to give it to us. So that means that because the final accomplishment is done by Krishna, it can never be erased. It is just a question of how you're utilizing your time. And when Krishna so desires, he's independent, then he'll give his mercy when he likes, how he likes. And then our duty as servants of Krishna is to continue to use 100% of our time in glorifying Krishna. So it can be there's no question of a race.
Talks of tivra bhakti, intensity, not rushed or not. Today I did 20 services. Tomorrow must be 40.
The devotee, his barometer essentially is with every passing day and night, is he feeling closer to Krishna or further away? That's all. It's not really, how fast am I going. So as Jai Jagannath was saying, if yesterday I wasted maybe, 15 hours, today I wasted 14. So when it's moving in the right...
There will be fantastic progress in one day. Yeah. Goloka? Oh, Ashray had his hand up first, sorry.
In the context of what you were discussing also, it's... as you said, intensity. Maybe one way to understand that also is in this context, like you were saying, the mood of service is very nice. So like the intensity isn't an externally measurable thing, but rather it's like how much do I actually feel like I'm happy to be a servant of Krishna right now? Because that's what the spiritual world is. The spiritual world isn't, the way the body is moving or something like that. Because we don't know what we're going to be doing in the spiritual world. But we know that for sure we're going to have to just do whatever Krishna wants. So how intensely am I working on the at the heart level of wanting to accept whatever Krishna wants me to do to serve him? So that this is everybody will have a different...
Yeah.
I mean, there's a measurement, but... Mood of service and I'm watching TV, I mean, that doesn't really make very much sense, obviously.
Or, Sankhya
Rupa
Nam.
But service can be manifested in so many ways, so that can also be deceptive, probably. So,
I think where we're going is that along with the mood of service, there is some expression of that service that is tangible, visible, audible, all of that. Versus only, we know that. We don't say bhakti as devotion, we call it devotional service. That there is some expression of it. So the intensity is, we're using the word measurable, tangible. Yet there are some devotees who, in the name of intensity, I'm a very intense devotee, that intensity is also scary. So both are necessary. Like that's what I'm hearing.
Dwelling on the sense objects.
Yeah.
It's a pretender, so... But we have to be, so we cannot just go by externals also. In one sense, devotion is a very internal thing. One cannot really tell whether somebody is more closer to Krishna or further away based on what all they do, how much they do.
Correct.
So that's dangerous.
At the same time, there is certain expression of it. So both are there. Golokadas. So on.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
How to understand that, like, whatever service we are doing is like we are assisting spiritual master. For example, like if a spiritual master says directly some service, like, or send an email, then we are like doing like, and we are all over the place. And if some other devotee requests like similar service, then we think like, oh, why he's requesting me? He can take care by himself. Like, so how to distinguish and understand like both the services are same?
I understood the first part of the question, how to know that whatever service we're doing is assisting the spiritual master. Oh, then I don't feel the same. Yeah. Because I am Guru Maharaj's surrendered disciple. I'm still working on being surrendered to the Vaishnavas. I have a problem with that. Because other Vaishnavas are not pure. Other Vaishnavas, they're also struggling. Not like me, but they're also struggling. I'm not struggling so much. I used to struggle. So I take orders only from pure devotee Guru Maharaj, because when they say to do something, it is empowered. Within the instruction is the empowerment to fulfill that instruction. Therefore, Prabhuji, if you ask me to do, go find someone else, Prabhu. Or he says, or could you check with me? Why don't you ask Maharaj to tell me to do this, and then it'll be empowered to do. I only hear what my guru says. Everyone else is, like Prabhupada says, is guru. Guru and guru. Prabhupada says in Bengali, guru means cow. He said, sometimes you treat the guru like guru. We accept it as little immaturity. And we continue. Just continue. If we become disturbed, then unfortunately we place ourselves in the same category as the persons we are disturbed by. And so two disturbed people can never get anything peaceful. So somebody, yesterday we were discussing mantra meditation, and one of the things that, I guess we're developing the idea so that we don't say by mistake God, and you know, then, my gosh, you have to say it fancifully. The idea we're developing is that the mind is contaminated, it's impure. So to purify something that's impure, you have to bring it in contact with something pure. And that something pure must have this nature that it itself will not become impure because it's come in contact with something impure. There are relative purities. I can wash my hand if my hand is dirty, but that water becomes dirty. My hand may become clean. So it's not fully pure. Fire, in one sense, is considered pure because fire burns impurities. So the idea is that we bring our mind in contact with the supreme pure. So when we are, suppose we are carrying a genuine pure thought or conception, because it's come in contact with an impure conception, if our conception also becomes impure, then there are two struggling bhaktas than one. So from our side, whoever, each of us, should get disturbed or try not to get disturbed. But it's also immaturity that I only take instruction like this. Some of the word instruction, because we are part of ISKCON, the word instruction has this solid connotation, you know, that it is wrapped in gold and carried on the head. It can be simple, and driving instructions, they're also instructions, but we use the word instruction in a very fashionable way. Instruction. Everything is instructive in that sense. Okay. There was a race between Gokulananda Prabhu and Jagadananda Prabhu, and Gokulananda Prabhu won.
This is an internet.
Oh, internet. We go to live persons first.
And then I have also a question. So,
we don't like appreciations. Ask a question. Just kidding. Go ahead. He's deferring to you.
For the internet, it's just a kind of comment, and if you can give an opinion. It's Carlos. He said, in Colombia...
In Colombia?
Yes, back to Carlos. In Colombia, my country, we have a saying, the essential is invisible to the eyes. What's your opinion about that?
About Colombia or about...
No, your opinion about the saying, the essential is invisible to the eyes. I think it's related to the first part of the class. The example of Paundraka.
I can say thank you for sharing it. I don't have anything particular to say what a saying in Colombia is, because it's so contextual. But Jagadananda Prabhu was saying that bhakti is internal. Bhakti is internal. And what is internal will manifest, and it'll manifest in its very refined forms. In the beginning, when bhakti is just fructifying little by little, the exhibition of bhakti is not subtle. Not yesterday, Jai Jagannath Prabhu used the word subtle. It's not subtle, not refined, not cultured. It is utsahamayi, big demonstrations of things, or ghana tarala. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur talks about the whole anarthas. Sometimes you make super big vows. Sometimes very intense expression of devotion. Next 2 days, where is the Prabhu? He's tired after 3 days of bhakti. Or something, you know, intense and then very slackening. Or riding the waves, you know, this whole descriptions. But as one matures, things are more refined. And the refinement is captured in speech, mostly. Like how they can express the subtleties of bhakti in a very attractive, pleasing manner. At the same time, there are many persons who can speak in very attractive, pleasing manners without any bhakti in their heart. So what is essential, in one sense, is invisible, but in another sense is visible. So it's a saying, and that's nice. I don't know more than that.
If you can comment or explain a little bit about being empowered by the spiritual master. I heard sometimes devotees saying, for example, that when Prabhupada was here, he was empowering his disciples so they could do big things. So like trying to imply that I'm not able to do big things for the movement because my spiritual master is not having the power of giving me that power.
Yeah, so it's like that is true. In general, it is always someone else's fault. So it's true. To err is human, and to blame it on someone else is even more human. What to say? I don't know what to say. I don't know. Sorry. I mean, we can say some things, but I'm trying to say what is... If a person's whole attention is that the empowerment did not come, my guru cannot empower me. If that's the conception, then what is the meaning of initiation? For example, like what happened at initiation? Everybody played the mridanga and such Prabhu ki, and that's it. I got a name, and I got some name that was complicated, and they got name of Jagadananda Pandit. Wow, what a name. Then what does the initiation mean? So I don't know. I don't know how to answer. This is too bewildering. In general, that means that person has to start bhakti from the very beginning. The empowerment, we have this romantic idea of what is empowerment. Prabhupada describes, the guru touches the disciple on the head, zzz, there's an electric shock, and now he's empowered. And somehow this bogus guru says, I've given everything that I have to you, I don't have anything else. So then he initiates the guru. It's not like that. Empowerment me just from adho shraddha to sadhu sangha to bhajan, these are all empowerments so that they're progressing in bhakti. Empowerment is the spiritual strength to continue in Krishna consciousness. That's the empowerment. Nayam balahine na labhya. That Balaram, as the original guru, gives the strength to continue in Krishna consciousness. That is the empowerment. Because a soul by himself is so steeped in Maya, cannot do. Needs the strength. Empowerment doesn't mean go out and construct 50 temples. That is also empowerment. But not necessarily like that. If a person can every day chant their rounds, follow the regulative principles, study Prabhupada, they're very empowered. It takes empowerment to follow regulative principles. True? Yeah. It takes a lot of empowerment. It takes empowerment to study one purport of Prabhupada and say, oh, I understand this. I can relate to, I had the Bhagavad Gita for 7 years, 8 years. I opened it, read first, you know, some line. It's not like I did not know Mahabharata's story, but and I was also a graduate student, so it's not like I don't know English. But I never understood what Prabhupada is writing. Like, what is this? What is this? And I would study, I'm going to take the name, Vivekananda, and I thought I understood what is like, wow, what is he writing? I can't understand. Only when I met the devotees and I was sat in a bhakti vriksha type environment, then there's an empowerment. Oh, that's what it means. Oh. So I think the whoever that person is, the word empowerment needs to be re-examined. Or their understanding needs to be re-examined.
So empowerment is for everyone, for every disciple.
Sure.
It's just they have to be receptive.
It's a very dynamic thing. Empowerment is for everyone. How much it's like Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy is for everyone. How much is one receiving it is also important. Krishna's mercy, rain falls, on a rock and on a fertile field. The rock doesn't manifest flowers. It can't receive. Receiving. Our process is not just unidirectional. It's a reciprocal process. So empowerment works two ways. One has to give, another has to take. Okay. Conch blowing. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. We will meet for a short while. Because there's something I want to share. With me or without me? Table बना रहा है क्या?